This is Jim Field.
And Nancy Zilmer.
And this is your Nishna Valley. Wow.
Wow.
Where'd you come from?
Oh, out of the past. Way out of the past, Jim.
We have to laugh. Maybe I'm not supposed to tell this story on air, but then again, I'm not going to. I'm going to let you. I got a call from you this week because a few weeks ago, folks who've been listening, I put out the call because Stacy is on maternity leave and she won't be back with us until the first week in February. So in the meantime, I was asking for folks who might be interested in coming out and kind of guest hosting with me. And we've had a few. My wife's done it. Let me think. Margaret Sontag has done it so far, and I've got a few others that'll do it over the next few weeks as well. But I got a call this week from you because you were hassled.
Yes, I was. Last Sunday in church, I had about four different people come up to me and say, "Why haven't you been on Nishna Valley with Jim Field?" And I have to confess, Jim, I thought, well, why would I go be on Nishna Valley with Jim Field? Because I know that you have your regular partner out here. Well, then somebody explained it to me, and I thought, well, all right, fine. I'll just do it. And it's fun because it sure brings back a lot of memories.
Well, you know, for folks who listen to this program, they probably understand that it's very loosely put together. You know, we have a few things that we do each and every week on this program, but otherwise it's kind of a just a chat session.
That's right.
And that's, I think, what some people kind of enjoy about it. It's just a chance to sit back, have a little coffee, and just kind of eavesdrop on someone else's conversation.
Absolutely. And I was thinking, I had to do a little research, but I started here in 1972. And I did Nishna Valley with Bob Einhaus for almost 20 years. Now, occasionally, of course, we'd have, you know, somebody else would come in. I did get to go on vacation now and then. So,
well, it's funny because I've been doing this program for a long time. You did it for a long time, but this is the first time we've done it together.
That's right.
And we did work together here at the same time. When I first started here, you were still on staff here for a few years yet. And when did you leave KJAN?
Oh, that part I didn't look up.
I know I came here in February of 88, and I know you were here for at least a year or two,
Oh, yes. Yes, I was, because I remember when you came on board, Jim.
Oh, what a dork.
Well, I can remember somebody's cow got out on a road and a car hit it, and Bob Einhaus told you, you probably don't even remember this, Bob Einhaus told you to go and cover this. And you said, why would anyone be interested in a cow that got hit on the road?
You know? City boy.
City boy. That's right. I'm telling stories on you.
No, that's all right. I got a lot of education when I got here. I still remember the very first county fair, which would have been the Shelby County Fair in 1988, because that's usually the first one here in this area that happens early in July. And I can remember Merlin Christensen walking in after they went up to do some interviews from the fair, and he dropped this thing on my desk, and I looked at it, and I walked around back into the sales room and said, Merlin, what is this? He says, well, that's the award winners at the fair. And I had no idea. I mean, I'd never heard the terms grand champion, reserve grand champion. I never heard those terms before. I didn't grow up in 4-H. I didn't grow up on a farm. I had no clue. To me, the fair was all about throwing balls at bottles that were stacked up. I had no idea that they actually had animals there.
Sure, and looking for the pretty girls, probably.
Probably a little bit of that, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you're teenagers, you bet.
Yeah, so it was a lot of education. We could tell a lot of stories, I'm sure, but let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, let's do. Let's do, Jim. You bet.
Are you ready for Christmas? It's here. It's this weekend.
I am. I am so happy to be able to say that. I spend a lot of time in front of my sewing machine getting ready for Christmas, and I finished up 2 days ago, and hallelujah.
Well, you're one of the few then. I mean, who does that anymore? Everybody goes out and buys what they want.
Oh, my family love homemade gifts, mm-hmm. and I enjoy doing it. So I'm not going to reveal what I've made for all of them, mm-hmm. of course, but I do have four little great-granddaughters, and they have been reading Little House on the Prairie. And yes, children still do read about Little House on the Prairie. And their mothers thought that they would like to have sunbonnets and aprons, so that was one of my projects.
Is that kind of a tradition at the holidays in your family?
What?
Doing something like that, something crafty, as opposed to just buying them gifts?
Just me.
Yeah, just you.
Just me.
That's your tradition. Okay. Well, the holidays are about traditions for a lot of folks
That's
in their
right.
family. So it's kind of nice to see that some of those things continue, even if it might not be the cool thing anymore.
Well, absolutely. And of course, I still do shopping.
Yeah.
But I have a pretty big family, so, you know. Never hurts to cut a corner now and then.
Kind of do. Yeah, kind of do. Are you doing any traveling, or are they coming to you this year?
We all go out to my son and daughter-in-law's farm, and they all come in. The furthest away is West Des Moines, and then we have another family in Adele. Otherwise, they're all around here.
Does it get a little crazy with all those people?
Oh, my gosh. With nine children, the oldest being eight, the youngest being two. Mm-hmm. Yes, it gets a little crazy.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
It's always interesting to see. I lost my grandmother in September, and she was the last of that generation.
Uh-huh.
Now my grandparents have all passed away. So, you know, everything in my life, everything revolved around grandmother's house growing up.
Sure.
So this will be a little different this year, but still everybody else is getting together and things too. And, you know, we've had Christmases where we've lost a grandfather.
And she'll always be remembered. So.
Oh, absolutely. So,
yes.
Yeah, it'll be a little different this time around. But actually, we're still going to Grandma's house. My aunt still lives there.
Wonderful.
So
good.
We're still going to the same place to do the same things, all the same people for the most part. So,
sure.
Yeah, some traditions just can't go away.
And where is that located, Jim?
Up in Dubuque.
All right.
Yeah, so a little bit of a drive. But the weather's going to be nice this
weekend.
Perfect.
Just perfect.
Yeah, I don't know how lucky we got it. Although I would kind of like to see some snow on Christmas.
Yeah, I would too. I've always said if it would just snow a little tiny bit on Christmas Eve, don't get on the roads, and then it can disappear a couple days later.
That's not so bad. I would take that. If we could figure out a way to make it snow when it's like 65 degrees, I'd be okay with that too.
Good luck.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have a lot of success with that.
No, I don't think so.
If somebody invents that, congratulations. You're the new Bill Gates. Well, we do have some things, actually. This is usually kind of a tough time of the year because, you know, a lot of events and things just don't happen this time of the year. Folks like to get out of the way and let it be family time for a few weeks. So, you know, we're not really overwhelmed with a lot of things happening. But there are a few things that certainly deserve mentioning here in the area. I see you've got a few things over there.
I do have. Do you want to do birthdays now or do you do that later?
Yeah, let's wait till the end. Let's do that toward the end.
All right. That's fine. Well, I noticed that Toastmasters are looking for members. Now, I never belonged to Toastmasters, but it's a great organization. If you're a little bit leery of getting up in front of people and talking, this is a great organization to belong to because they build your confidence in yourself. They give you a lot of good pointers on how to stand up in front of people and talk. Then I noticed that the Audubon County Memorial Hospital was named a top rural hospital, and that is really quite an honor. The Little Mermaid Trail. I think all of us that live around here are acquainted with this. They're going to get some grant funding, and that means that by summer of next year, there'll be a recreational trail ready for use in Kimbleton from the Little Mermaid statue past the ball fields, with further expansion planned in Elkhorn from College and Union Streets to the Danish Immigrant Museum. So those of you who like to really stay in shape, I'm sure that's good news.
Well, a lot of people use trails.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes.
I mean, whether it's for biking or in some cases skateboarding, folks walk on them. They're all over anymore. All types of different ones. There might be concrete, asphalt. There might be some gravel type ones. But, you know, they all serve their purpose, and it's nice. And it seems like there's more coming on board all the time.
I really enjoy going out to the Schaumburg area and walking when the weather is nice.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Well, you might be able to do that here for Christmas.
Absolutely.
It's not terrible.
Entirely possible. Yeah. Yes.
You never know. So yeah, good stuff. And that's, you know, it's a good healthy way to live life anyway. And it's kind of fun.
It is fun. You actually run into a lot of people that you probably know but didn't realize they were walkers, too.
You know, treadmills serve their purpose. I understand what they're for. And, you know, when the weather's awful outside, it is nice to have a place to be able to get your walking in. But there's nothing like actually being outdoors and walking with a purpose.
Yes.
Going from point A
yes.
to point B.
Absolutely. Yes. DeSoto Bend, I noticed that they're getting things cleaned up. You know, after the flood, there was a lot of silt and some damage that was done, and it's still undergoing some repairs, but they have opened a portion of it. You can go ice fishing once it freezes enough, and also you can go up there and walk and back into the area and see. They're not letting people drive yet because the silt is too deep. But I don't know if you've ever been up to DeSoto Bend and gone through and seen the wreckage of the Bertram. And
I've not seen that, no.
But it's really kind of intriguing, mm-hmm. I think. And then we have an alumni couple that committed $5 million to the University of Iowa Finance Studies and Football Scholarships. And that has roots right here in Atlantic. It's Curtis and Carol Lane of Omaha. And Carol was Carol Brindley before she was married. And this scholarship, actually what they're doing is they're dividing the money up into several different areas. Mm-hmm. And that will benefit quite a few young people, which is very commendable, I think.
You haven't made that same kind of donation, have you?
No, not lately.
Quite that many.
Have you?
I don't have enough ink in my pen to write that many zeros, unfortunately.
Good answer, Jim. Yeah. Good answer.
Which my banker really appreciates, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, I would think so.
Oh, lots of good stuff. Well, I've got a few things over here, too, we can share a little bit with folks if you enjoy roller skating. Did you roller skate?
Oh, absolutely. I still have my skates with the pom-poms on the toes.
Of course you do. Why would you throw those away? Well, a lot of folks actually have good memories of roller skating. You can still do that up in Audubon as well. They don't have a roller skating rink per se, but they do set up the Agri Hall up at the fairgrounds in Audubon for roller skating a couple of times a month during the winter season, and they'll have a couple opportunities for you in January. The 6th and the 20th will be opportunities for you to get out and roller skate. They'll also do it in February and March for a couple of different times. Beginners come in at 6 and 6:30 to 8:30. Everyone else is welcome. It's just $3.50 per person, and it might bring back a few memories.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not just for the kids.
Oh, no. Every Wednesday evening, we used to go out here to our local skate rink, and it was a lot of fun. That's where you met all your buddies. And
The boys went where the girls went. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
Right? That how
yes,
it works?
Good way to put it. Absolutely.
You want to know where the boys are, just find the girls, and that's how it goes. Very good. Hey, the folks up at the Westphalia Volunteer Fire Department are having a New Year's Eve ribeye steak dinner. Oh, grilling in the wintertime. Sounds good to me.
Ooh, yes.
That's on Saturday, December 31st. They'll be serving 5 to 9 p.m. at the new St. Boniface Parish Center in Westphalia. That's sponsored by the fire department. It's $15 per person. You can get your tickets at the door, or you can stop by the Westphalia Clubhouse, and they can get you set up as well. So a lot of good things there.
Very good.
A couple of other things here for you, too, I wanted to throw in yet. This is for this weekend yet. Now, if you haven't taken care of this already, you still have a little bit of time. On Sunday, this Sunday, December 25th, Christmas Day, the Exira Lutheran Church is hosting a Christmas dinner. Now, this is for anyone who may find themselves alone on Christmas Day.
How nice.
Maybe the family's not around or can't get back, and you find yourself by yourself. It's never much fun on a holiday like that to be by yourself.
Right.
But if you want to get out and enjoy a traditional turkey dinner with some folks that you'll probably know, they'll do that at noon at the Exira Lutheran Church basement on Christmas Day. Now, carryouts are also available for those who are home confined, and they're going to offer taxi service also for folks who otherwise couldn't get there.
Excellent.
They do ask, however, that you call for reservations. So 268-2660, if you would, please. And again, that's noon this Christmas Day, opportunity for you to get out and to enjoy good Christmas dinner. Something else here coming up on Monday, December 26th. There is a baby shower and prayer service. Now, this is for Sydney Bowman. It'll be held from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Faith Lutheran Church in Griswold this Monday, the 26th. Now, Sydney is the daughter of Dave and Mindy Hoffman Bowman. They live in Divide, Colorado. They're formerly of Atlantic. She's also the granddaughter of Larry and Nancy Bowman of Atlantic and Rex and Marion Hoffman of Henderson. Now, Sydney's been diagnosed with two holes in her heart, and she'll undergo open-heart surgery in January. So you could help their Christmas be a whole lot better by helping out their situation. They're going to be serving a roast pork sandwich dinner at that event at the Faith Lutheran Church in Griswold on Monday evening, and all of the donations that you might provide them will go towards Sydney's medical expenses, and they do very much appreciate anything that you can do for them.
Absolutely. Jim, you're a golfer.
Well, I own clubs.
Well, all
I
right.
I swing them once in a
so
while.
So do I. But I ran across a little thing that I thought would probably give our listeners a chuckle. And the subject is called the rider. That's not a term that's normally heard in golf, but after a particular round of golf, there were four ladies that sat around the clubhouse chatting, and the pro approached them and asked, how did your game go? And the first lady said she had a good round, making the comment that she actually had 25 riders. The pro was a little bit perplexed, not knowing what a rider was. The second was a lady quickly chimed in and said that she had a very good round as well with 16 riders. Well, the third lady said that her round was average and she only had 10 riders. The fourth lady admitted that she played the worst round of the day and that she only had 2 riders all day long. Well, the pro was completely confused, not knowing what the term rider meant, but because he didn't want to look dumb, he made a quick, polite remark, wished the ladies well, and then left. He then approached the bartender and asked, "Hey, can you tell me what these ladies are talking about when they refer to riders?" Well, the bartender simply smiled and said, "A rider is when you hit a shot long enough to ride on the golf cart to your ball."
Perfect.
You know.
I've had a few of those in my day.
Oh, haven't we all in
Didn't
our time, yes.
Really necessarily need the cart. I'll just walk, thank you.
Right,
and it's
yes.
even worse when you take the same club with you because you know you're still using it. You
exactly.
haven't increased your distance enough.
But you get a little exercise because you walk.
Yeah, you do, and then you get a story out of it sometimes,
That's
too.
That's right,
maybe
Jim.
Not the one you wanted to share, but nonetheless
right.
a story.
Right.
Very good. Well, on that note, we probably should take a quick break here. We'll be back with more for you right after you listen to this.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cache County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
All right, back to work. It's such tough work.
Oh, boy.
So tough. Hey, you know, I found something, Nancy. I had a chance to interview this week Susan Oliver, who is the Cass County, she's the 4-H girl. She's the county youth coordinator.
Oh.
And I found it interesting, the story we were talking about, because Cass is one of the counties that have added their 4-H history now to the Iowa 4-H Foundation website. We all have that history.
Oh, yes.
And it's all probably tucked away in boxes someplace for the most part. Pictures and maybe some items
right.
and maybe a few documents here and there and what have you. But, you know, when people pass, the history that they recall passes with them oftentimes, unless you take the time to actually document that. I know you've got a good long family history in 4-H.
Yes, we definitely do.
Your
definitely.
Kids and grandkids and what have you.
I'm going to have a 1-year hiatus, I think, here. And then my great-grandchildren start in.
A year off. You may have to volunteer for 4-H or something just to
suppose?
Keep the time going. Yikes. Well, a lot of great stories and things. And if folks want to check that out on the web, you can go to that site. It's maybe a little complicated to remember, but it's www.iowa4h, and it's the number 4, iowa4hfoundation.org. And if you slash 4-H history, you'll get straight to it. Go to the KJAN website. Go to kjan.com. And on our links page, the page where we have all the links and things, if you go down to where the 4-H, where the extension offices are listed there, the links to those, I also put the link that'll take you directly to the Cass County page. You don't have to search around for it. It'll go straight to that page. It's kind of neat. Some neat pictures to look back over time, and it's kind of interesting to see the history. They kind of focused on the fair with what they put up initially. There'll be more coming as time goes on, but it's interesting to look back at the history of the fair, from the location of the fairgrounds to the people who were involved, to back in the early 1900s, how really a fair got started in the first place and how a club got started.
The fairgrounds were not located where they are now. They were, oh boy, I can't give you just, I think down on 2nd Street on the east side of town, and kind of tucked down in there. But I have some, or had some family pictures that were taken down there. And the livestock gym, oh my goodness, how it's changed. It used to be how big and fat you could get your hogs, you know, not how lean and trim that they were.
Right. Right.
So there have been a lot of changes.
Although I am amazed how big these animals are getting again.
Well, they are, but there's more meat on them and less fat.
Yeah. For a while, it seemed like, you know, an 800-900-pound steer was, you know, just a good size to get a good lean animal. But my goodness, now you're looking 13, 14, even 15, 1600 pounds in some of these
absolutely.
Animals.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they're not just fat cattle anymore.
Oh, no. Oh, no. They certainly aren't.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how that stuff has all changed, kind of morphed over time, too, to suit everyone's needs.
Hey, you're doing real well for a city kid, coming up with those weights and all of that after all these years
of amazing?
Being around here. Yeah.
It's 20-some years of sitting out there at that auction. I've picked up a few things over time.
I would hope so.
I never was involved in 4-H when I was a kid because, you know, back then a lot of it was based for the farm kids.
Sure
anyway.
Was. You bet.
And I really didn't know too many kids who lived on a farm at all, so I didn't really know too many 4-H kids either. But I am an honorary 4-H'er. They,
wonderful.
Some years ago, Cass County did, during their county convention, make me an honorary 4-H'er, and I still have the pin, and I appreciate them doing that, too. I guess if you hang around long enough and just don't go away, they finally invite you into the club.
That's right. They bestowed that honor on Bob Bebensee and myself, too, several years ago. Yes.
All you got to do is hang around a while.
That's right. That's right. Because I was raised in town. I wasn't in 4-H.
Weren't you?
Oh, no. No, no. I lived in town, and back then, the city kids didn't participate in it, but we always went to the fair, and we're always around the animals when we went out there, but actually, I was drug clear across the fairgrounds here in Atlantic behind a steer because being a town girl, I didn't realize you don't wrap the rope around your hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pictures, by chance?
No, thank goodness. No, thank goodness not.
Video. There was no YouTube back then, so we couldn't put that up. So.
No.
You know, nowadays, that would have made the internet immediately.
Absolutely, it would.
It's kind of scary, really, when you think about it. Should we do some birthdays and things?
Sure.
I don't have any anniversaries. We'll get that out of the way right away. And we don't have any new babies to tell you about this time around. But you do have a few birthdays.
I do have. Let's start here with the youngster of the group. And that would be happy 80th birthday on the 31st of December to Joan Wierick of Atlantic. And then we'll progress up to the 85th birthday of Martha Stephenson, and she'll be celebrating, she was a New Year's baby. She was born on January 1st, and she's from the Anita area. Then we have Adolf Polacek. Do you think maybe I hit that fairly close, I hope. Adolf will be 90 years old. He's of the Shelby area, and his birthday is on the 30th of December. And then I feel like we ought to blow a trumpet or something. Irma Haeflinger will be 100 years young on the 28th of December, and she's from the Audubon area.
You bet. Lives at the Friendship Home.
So yes.
Congratulations there.
Absolutely. Those are real milestones.
Oh, absolutely. And there's one other there at the Friendship Home as well?
Oh, I missed Lavina. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Lavina Johnston, and her birthday's on the 28th. I was just so taken by Irma being 100 years old. I mean, that's very remarkable.
They can share cake.
Yes, they could.
Same day.
They could. Absolutely,
I'm
they
sure
could.
I'm sure there'll be plenty to go
right.
around, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I do have a couple of other events I do want to throw in here, too, because of the holidays coming up again now next weekend. We want to make sure we get some of those things in. The Adair County Extension and AmeriCorps are offering a New Year's Eve party for 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders on Saturday, December 31st. It's an indoor event at the Adair County Fitness Center from 9:30 to 12:30. It'll be indoor activities. It's a $3 fee to cover snacks and the crafts and things like that. Do call the Adair County Extension Office at 641-743-8412 to make your reservations for your child. Also, the Atlantic United Church of Christ is sponsoring a family-friendly New Year's Eve celebration at 1607 Hazel Street. They'll have a free will soup supper from 5:30 to 7. There'll be activities for the kids as well. 7 to 8 p.m., there'll be a free concert featuring Tammy Truitt and Amy Mardison. And then at 8 o'clock, they'll have a free comedy show provided by 88 Improv. They're out of Omaha. If you like spontaneous stuff, it's silly. You'll enjoy that. Everyone is welcome to attend. And again, that is on New Year's Eve, starting at 5:30 with that soup supper. So we hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy some of that, too. And keep watching, and we'll tell you more about them as we get close to them. There are a number of blood drives coming up over the next couple of weeks as well. They really seem to pile up during the holidays because people are so busy. I guess even if you can't get a lot of people to come to one, if you can have a lot of them,
right,
maybe you can generate enough supply.
There you go.
So a lot of those things happening as well. Well, I wanted to kind of spend a little bit of time with some letters to Santa. The Anita Tribune each year throws some letters, a lot of them, letters to Santa that the elementary students write. And these are always kind of fun.
Oh, they are. There's just nothing like the words out of the mouth of a baby.
Do you still, because I know all parents make copies before they actually mail the letters off to Santa Claus. Do you still have some of those from your kids, or have they kind of gone by the wayside?
I think I do have a few, Jim. My family would chuckle about that, but I keep scrapbooks. And yes, I think there possibly are some from both of my children, yes.
I've given my wife a hard time on this program, and I'll do it again because I think I can get away with it. Over the years, she found some old letters to Santa that she had, and she used to actually, because she wanted to make sure that Santa completely understood when she was a little girl. Not only did she write what she wanted, she cut the pictures out of the magazines, out of the catalogs.
Oh, my.
And then put the pictures on there, too, and we found some of those old ones still lying around at the house, and sure enough, there they were.
Well, she was very explicit, wasn't she?
The catalogs look like Swiss cheese after Christmas. She tore them all up. Yeah, well, you know, you don't hedge your bets. You
That's
never know.
That's right.
Santa's a busy guy. Make
That's
sure
right.
You can
he is.
Give him exactly what he needs. I noticed that there are a lot of short letters, and there are some longer ones here as well. But let's share a few of these here. These are kindergartners now from Mrs. Sabetka's class over there at Cam Elementary North. Here's one that says, "Dear Santa, say hi to the reindeer." And I say, "I love you, reindeer. I want a Jeep with music, keys, and gas tank, and a big trunk."
Oh, boy. What do you suppose?
That sounds like something Dad was asking for.
Well, it does.
Here, "Dear Santa, can I please have a Jeep?" What is it with Jeeps?
I don't know.
"And can I please have a remote control car?" Owen wants that. Also, this Grace says, "Dear Santa, I would like a Barbie for Christmas and a baby pony. I will send you milk and cookies. I love you."
Well, you always have to butter up Santa Claus. I mean, you want to get that in there.
Boy, you really, really do.
Sure.
Oh, let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, here's one. "Dear Santa, can I please have a seat for my uncle's tractor?"
Oh, my goodness. Well, now that's very thoughtful.
I think Gunner wants to ride along with Grandpa. Either that or he's just wanting Grandpa to have or his uncle, rather, to have a better seat for the tractor.
Well, that could be, too, but
Wasn't sure if he was adding one for him.
You never know what children are going to pick up in a conversation.
You know, you don't know exactly what they're going for there, too.
No.
Let's see. Here's from a first grader. It says, "Dear Santa, can you please buy me some toys? Santa, I like your reindeer. I like you, Santa. Can you please buy me some corn on the cob? Can you please play Yet Me?
Yet
from
Me.
From Finney Good." I don't know what that means, but
well,
Corn on the cob. This time of the year.
In
I don't
June.
Even think Santa could get you a good
corn
on the cob.
Oh, I don't
this
think so either. No, it'd be a little tough.
Let me see here. "Dear Santa, you are very nice. Can you bring me some Legos? I will leave you some cookies. Merry Christmas."
My goodness. Did you ever stop to think how full Santa must be when he gets back home to the North Pole?
Isn't it nice to hear things like Legos and stuff like
yes,
that? Like
it
from
is.
The past?
Yes.
They're still around, still popular.
Yes. I saw Tinker Toys on the shelf the other day and Lincoln Logs. That goes back a few years, too.
Let me get you one more here, and this is from a second grader. It says, "Dear Santa, I am being a really good girl. I love Christmas because I like spending time with my family. Can I please have a leopard Snuggie?" Got to get the Snuggie in there. "A unicorn Stompies and a password journal. I will leave out milk and cookies. Merry Christmas."
Very nice.
Very nice. Butter very up nice. Santa before you
absolutely.
Get to the important stuff.
Absolutely,
make
Jim.
Make sure you get those letters yes. done early enough.
Yes.
I think they email them most of the time now.
Probably. In fact, I noticed the post office has a much smaller mailbox for Santa this year.
I suppose people are texting their letters to Santa,
they
too.
They probably are. Yes, they are.
Busy
yes.
guy. Well, we hope you do have a very good Christmas holiday this weekend, and hope you get a chance to spend it with family and friends.
Absolutely. I have a little parting thought.
Perfect.
You can always tell when you're on the road to success, it's uphill all the way. And this comes from Paul Harvey.
And there's probably somebody tugging at you from behind.
Probably.
Very good. Well, that's all the time we have for you this weekend. As always, thanks for spending a little bit of your weekend here with us on the radio. This is Jim Field.
And Nancy Zellmer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.